name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. I don't know how many of you have ever read or heard of a gentleman by the name of Tony Campolo. You ever heard of Tony Campolo? He is a Christian author, and he's traveled extensively preaching. He was also at one point Bill Clinton's spiritual advisor during his presidency, but don't hold that against him. Tony has a lot of quotable moments, and he has some great stories. And the story goes that sometime in the mid-80s, he was in Honolulu, Hawaii, and he couldn't sleep. He was having this bout of insomnia, and so about 3 a.m. he decides he's going to get up and he's going to go to this little all-night diner that's down the corner from his hotel. And so he goes down there and he orders coffee and a little breakfast. And just a little while later, this group of, let's call them late-night working ladies, strolls in to this establishment and sit down at the counter near where Tony is. And Tony can tell, you know, who they are and that they've had a long night. And he overhears them talking. And the guy who runs this establishment, I believe he said that the guy's name was Fred, was speaking with them and knew exactly what they were going to order and made that for them. And he heard the woman speaking, and the one says, you know, I can't believe tomorrow will be my birthday. She said, you know, I've never had a birthday party in my life. I've never had a birthday cake. Another year come and gone, and she was sort of lamenting about the sad state of her life and her affairs. And as Tony's listening, he hatches this plan. After they leave, he speaks to the owner, and he says, you know, are they in here every night? Yeah, they come in here every night about 3:30, and they always have the same thing. He said, well, we're going to have a birthday party for this woman. And so he pays for a cake and gets his wife to come with him. Fred actually has his wife come, and they have everything ready for a birthday party. And dutifully, 3:30 in the morning, this woman walks in. And everyone in the diner jumps up and shouts, happy birthday. And they present her with this cake. Tears, as he writes, tears came down this woman's face because nobody had ever cared for her enough to give her a birthday party, to give her a cake. She wanted a picture with the cake, as he writes. And then she started thanking him, saying, you know, thank you so much. You know, I don't know you. He said, well, I'm Tony Campolo. I'm a pastor. And she sort of backed up for a second. She said, a pastor would do this for a prostitute? My brothers and sisters, as we read or heard this morning from our lesson from the book of Acts, I truly do believe that we are defined more by who it is that we exclude than who it is that we include. We'll always be known for who it is that we want to toss out, toss aside, ignore, pretend doesn't exist, or want to hide ourselves from. That's not a good place for Christians to be. But yet, here we are. And I'm sad to say, we have a bit of a reputation. And quite frankly, our reputation is worse than these women that were coming in at 3:30 in the morning. If we're going to be given a reputation, my brothers and sisters, I want it to be for being so welcoming, so open, so loving, so affirming, that it would never register with someone that a pastor would not want to be around. I mean, after all, Jesus Christ spent his entire ministry working with the very same people most of us would try actively to avoid. We're all guilty of trying to avoid people. Each and every single one of us. And there's a variety of reasons. Maybe they don't look like us. Maybe they don't talk like us. Maybe they don't pray like us. Maybe they don't love like us. It really doesn't matter. Just because someone may look differently than you or sin differently than you does not give us as Christians the right to exclude them from the household of God. We have a place, my brothers and sisters, in this family. And this is a family that it's more than just about you. It's about us coming together. It's about us not worrying so much about the other, who they are, and more about who it is that they can become, who it is that we can so radically love that we can transform the world. And that ties right in with what Jesus is saying. Now, the last several weeks since Easter, we've been reading about stories after Jesus' resurrection. Today, we've sort of gone to a flashback. Now we're hearing what's called the final discourse. Jesus speaking to the disciples in that upper room right prior to his crucifixion. And he says, "They will know that you are my disciples by your love. Not by who you're going to exclude. Not by who it is you're going to toss out. Not by who it is that you're going to decide can't be part of your little team. Who we love." My brothers and sisters, if we're going to live as resurrection people, we have to be transformed by the resurrection. We have to be people made different by it. And it doesn't really matter what sort of a condition our human nature is in, we're going to want to push people away. The resurrection says that there's no reason to do that. We are called to pull people together. All walks of life, young and old. Those who are new in the faith and those who are mature in the faith. Those who are black, white, yellow, green, polka dotted, doesn't matter. We are called together as a family to worship because each and every one of us is so radically loved by Jesus, by God, and empowered by the Spirit to change the world. Did you know that's what you're called to? Did you know that this table that we have, this Eucharistic feast that is both a remembrance of an event that happened, a memorial, and also a foretaste of a heavenly banquet to come? There is no discrimination at this table. There can't be in our lives. You can't, as Willie Nelson famously said, you can't have your hate in Jesus too. We can't block people out of our lives. We can't block people from this church. We can't block people from the ministry that we have, that God-given ministry, called to be people, proclaiming the good news, proclaiming the resurrection, eating with so many sinners it ruins our reputation. That, my brothers and sisters, is a good thing. When we minister to those far different than us, people that we would prefer perhaps not to be around, when we minister to those people, we become truly the church. We become the people Jesus came to this earth and died and rose again for. My brothers and sisters, they will know. When I say they, it means all these people outside of these walls, all the people in this broken and hurting world, all the people that desperately need to be loved, to be cherished, to be appreciated, just anyone who needs a birthday cake because they've never had one. They will know that we are Christians by our love. Will you love? Will you open yourselves up to new and different people? Will you, as we say in the baptismal covenant, respect the dignity of every human being? Will you let the world know that you are Christians by your love? Amen.